Okay, welcome to episode 55 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons podcast. My name is Divine, and in today's podcast, we're going to be continuing our series on steadfastness. And I'm going to actually be continuing with why should we be steadfast? Because one thing I tried to address with episode 54 was what does it mean to be steadfast? So, and remember my anchor scripture then was 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 that says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Right? So we talked about what it means to be steadfast. So now we're going to continue. So if you didn't listen to that podcast, I'll encourage you to listen to episode 54. So why should we be steadfast? The thing is, there are actually many reasons why your person should be steadfast. The very first one is, you need to be steadfast if you want to reap your harvest, right? The fact that you're reaping a harvest means that there was a time where you sowed some kind of seed, right? The thing is, a farmer always waits for the seed sown to yield fruit, right? If you look at the book of Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, right? Galatians 6, verse 9, that says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So I notice how it didn't say in any season, it said in due season. So there's a time in life where you're supposed to sow, and there's a time in life where you're supposed to reap, right? So if you want to receive the blessings, right, for all those seeds you have sown, you need to be steadfast. If you look at the book of James chapter 5 verse 11, he says, behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Right? So if you really think about it, Job, he got his miracle in the end in his due season because he was steadfast. Job was not the kind of person that gave up on God. In spite of the circumstances that surrounded him, his wife said, curse God and die. But Job said, you know what? My Redeemer lives. I'm not going to curse God. I'm not going to do any evil against God. Joseph was steadfast. When Potiphar's wife said, come and sleep with me, Joseph said, I cannot do this wicked thing against God. That was an example of a person that was steadfast. If you even look at the book of Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 to 12, Hebrews 6, verses 11 to 12, right? He says, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that he be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So the thing is, there's an inheritance for you in Christ. But for you to get that inheritance, you need to have faith. You need to be patient. You need to be steadfast, right? So your divine destiny will not come if you are not steadfast, right? Ruth was steadfast. The thing is, people that are steadfast, they end up getting the very best, right? Ruth was steadfast, and she was able to get her Boaz. So again, for those of you that are listening to this, and you're asking God, God, oh, I want this miracle. God, you know, I'm looking for a husband. God, I'm looking for a wife. Be steadfast. Continue to serve God. Continue to please him. Continue to do his will. I'm telling you, your Boaz will come, and your Esther will come in the name of Jesus. Because think about it. Again, every one of us, we have an appointed time. There's an appointed time for our blessings, right? The Bible says, to everything, there's a time appointed under the sun, right? So the thing is, again, you cannot get to your appointed time. You cannot get to your blessing. You cannot get to your miracle if you're not steadfast, right? Again, you need to be consistent in obeying the... Because think about it, right? Like, if, for example, a GPS is guiding you to a certain destination, if you don't consistently follow the directions and instructions of the GPS, you may not arrive at that location, right? So again, you need to be steadfast in obeying God. You need to be steadfast in doing God's will, right? You can't give up. You can't say, oh, you know what? This thing has gone on for too long, so I'm just going to throw in the towel. No. People that throw in the towel are people that lose their miracles, right? So look at Hannah. Hannah, she was praying for her Samuel, praying for her Samuel. Did she stop? No. She kept praying. She was steadfast and she got her miracle, right? The thing is, unfortunately, many people have missed their harvest in life because they were impatient, right? They were not steadfast. Remember Esau. Esau, right? Again, just because he was hungry, he was not steadfast through that hunger. Because again, the fact that God is telling you to be steadfast means there are things that will try to get you to throw in the towel. Esau threw in the towel very quickly. He was not steadfast and he lost his birthright. Look at King Saul. All he had to do was be patient, be steadfast and wait for Samuel to come and offer that sacrifice. But he did not do that. And look at what happened to him in the end. He lost his destiny. He lost his kingship. Right? He lost his kingship. So again, I'm encouraging you today, be steadfast. Don't miss out on your harvest because you're impatient. Now, what is the second reason why you should be steadfast? The second reason why you should be steadfast is so that you can make heaven. So that you can make heaven. If you look at the book of Matthew chapter 24, verse 13, right? It says, But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved, right? It's the person that is willing to endure to the end that will obtain salvation in the end. That is just the truth. It's not the person that endures to the beginning. It's not the person that endures to the middle. There are many people that have started the journey of life, but they are not willing to tough it out to the very end, right? There are many people that have started projects, but they are not willing to tough it out to the very end. Again, let me encourage you, tough it out. Tough it out, right? Again, the reward at the end is very, very, very amazing, right? Like a woman when she's pregnant, you know, during that pregnancy is so hard, it's so tough. You know, she's carrying this baby around, she's in pain, she's making a lot of sacrifices. But at the end, when the even during the process of labor, you know, by the grace of God, I'm a physician, I've seen many women go through the process of labor. It is a very trying process for many women, right? I would say for every woman, it is a very trying process. Even if you get a cesarean section, it's still a very trying process, right? But when the baby comes forth, everything becomes worth it. You know that kind of thing that happens where you get the fruit of your labor and you forget all the sacrifice that you had to put in? That is the kind of thing that happens when you're steadfast. So I'm encouraging you today, be steadfast. If you even look at the book of Hebrews chapter 3 verse 14, it says, "For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." You need to be steadfast. You need to be steadfast. The people that partake of eternal life, the people that partake of heaven with Christ, are people that are steadfast. If you look at the book of Romans chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, Romans chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, it says, "Who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life." Again, if you want to partake of eternal life, you need to be steadfast. Now, what is the third reason why you need to be steadfast? Well, you need to be steadfast so that you can overcome temptation. If you look at the book of James chapter 1 verse 12, James chapter 1 verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Right? Remember the story of Esau again. Esau was not steadfast. Right? He was not steadfast and that temptation overcame him. Instead, you want to be the kind of person that overcomes temptation. Now, what is another reason why you should be steadfast? Another reason you should be steadfast is that God himself is steadfast towards us. Literally, God himself is steadfast towards us. If you look at the book of Psalms 136 verse 1, from the, I believe it's the English Standard Version, it says that, "Give thanks to the Lord for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." Right? If you even look at the book of Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 23, Lamentations 3, verses 22 to 23 says, The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Brethren, God makes the sun shine every day. God makes the moon shine at night. God gives us the breath of life. God makes it possible that you sleep through the night. You sleep like a log of wood. But then you wake up the next morning and every part of your body is functioning well. God has kept you. He's steadfast towards you. Let me tell you this, right? God loves you. That love of God is a steadfast love. It's not a love that just, you know, this love is available today, but it's not available tomorrow. No, even the fact that you are alive, even if you are living in sin now, God is extending his message of love to you. It's his steadfast love that is saying, "I'm giving you this call of salvation. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ today. Come and I will set you free. Come and I will give you a new life," right? And the final reason why you should be steadfast is to become complete in Christ. To become complete in Christ. The thing is, when you give your life to Christ, you become like a baby spiritually. For you to become mature, a mature Christian, a mature child of God, you need to be steadfast, right? If you want to be spiritually mature, you need to be steadfast. You need to go through the process. The thing is, you can't deliver a baby today and immediately start giving the baby solid food. It is just not possible. If you give that baby solid food, that baby will die. The baby cannot digest that solid food. But the baby has to be steadfast first with the milk. After that, the baby is steadfast with like honey and pureed foods. And then after that, the baby becomes steadfast with fruits and vegetables. And then over time, the baby begins to eat solid food, right? Again, steadfastness. If you look at the book of James chapter 1 verses 2 to 4, James chapter 1 verses 2 to 4, it says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in what? Nothing." Right? So if you want to be perfect and complete, you need to be steadfast. You need to go through that due process so that the product that comes out on the other end will be pure gold. The product that comes out on the other end will not be half-baked. So again, I'm encouraging you today, be steadfast. Again, I want you today, if you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to tell you that Jesus loves you. It literally does not matter what your background is. Even if you've done very bad things in the past, the Lord is willing to set you free today. He died for you on the cross. His love was steadfast towards you. That's why he died for you on the cross, to set you free. So if you want to accept this offer of salvation today, I want you to say this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you today. I confess that I'm a sinner, and I come to you for forgiveness. I believe that you died on the cross to set me free. Come into my life, be my Lord, be my Savior, write my name in the book of life, give me a brand new beginning, sanctify me with your blood, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I believe you died on the cross and rose again to set me free. Come and give me a brand new life. Give me the grace to do your will all the days of my life. Give me the grace to be steadfast in well-doing. Glory be to your name, O God. Thank you for saving me in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And Father, I pray for those that are listening to this podcast today. If there is any one of them that are going through trials of life, temptations of life, tough situations of life, I ask for your grace and strength to help them to be steadfast, to see them through. And Father, whatever prison they are in now, the prison of depression, the prison of anxiety, just anything that does not glorify your name, Heavenly Father, give them the grace to stand still and know that you are God and to go through in steadfastness. And Father, let victory be sure for them in the end. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for hearing us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So for those that have just prayed that prayer of salvation, I will encourage you, find the Bible, read it, be steadfast in doing what it says. A good place to start is the book of John. Just do what the Bible says and you'll see your life take a turn for the better. And then secondly, also plug yourself into a Bible-believing church. Attend the Redeemed Christian Church of God. But there are many wonderful churches all over the country, all over the world. So just find the Bible-believing church, seek community with other believers. But again, spend time in the Word of God. Do what the Word of God says. Be steadfast in obeying God's Word and you'll see your life take a turn for the better. Until the next episode, which will be Steadfastness Part 3, I wish you all the very best. Have a great week and God bless you. Thank you.